If you don't know me, my name is Lydia, and I'm one of the pastors, and we're really excited to share with you about a trip that seven of us just got back from in Thailand. And so in a few minutes, we're going to hear from our service team as they share stories of renewal and hope about what God is up to in the country of Thailand. They're going to answer the who, what, where, and when of what we were up to. But before we get there, let's back up and just for a moment ask a couple important questions, like how do we engage with Jesus in the renewal of all things, and why should we engage with Jesus in the renewal of all things? In case you hadn't noticed, Jesus is pretty passionate about the renewal of all things. One of the first statements Jesus makes in the Gospel of Luke is this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free." Probably the most quoted verse in the New Testament are Jesus' words in John, where he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son." And at the very end of Scripture, Jesus proclaims, "Behold, I make all things new." All of these statements are dripping with the totality of Christ's renewal of all things. The mission of Jesus is to make all things new. And so what does it mean to engage in the mission of Jesus? If we take even a minute to think back on how history has answered that question, we find amazing stories of Christians overturning slavery across the world, such as William Wilberforce, hospitals and universities being built, lawyers working for justice, teachers building hope and vitality in the next generation, languages being given a written alphabet just so the Bible could be translated into the people's native tongue, artists shaping culture with the beauty of Christ, and some of the great composers such as Bach and Handel making the glories of Christ known through music. These are people who have joined in the mission of Jesus. But when we look back on history, we also pretty quickly find some dark sides of missions that went horribly wrong. For example, the two great centuries of missionary expansion, the 18th and 19th centuries, in which Christ became known on more continents and in more countries and in more remote villages than in the previous cumulative history of Christianity, were centuries also inseparably tied to European colonialism. The result was what often became a grim and difficult tie between the military European agenda and the missional spread of the gospel. You see this on our continent with missions gone horribly wrong in things like the residential schools. Digging further back in history, we also shudder to remember the medieval method of carrying on Christian missions, as constructed around conquering the tribe in warfare and then subjecting the entire enemy army to baptism in the nearest river. With this blotted past, is it any wonder that the result today has been a well-deserved sense of cynicism and distrust in missions, both from the local church and culture in general? Case in point, when I told my curling team that I had to miss two games while on a work-related trip to Thailand, our third retorted at me, "Well, Padre," the name she's given me because she knows I'm a pastor, "Well, Padre, are you going to Thailand to convert heathen?" We have a lot of work to do in recovering our idea of missions. And so the all-important question we must ask is, what does engaging in the mission of Jesus in the 21st century look like? That is, how do we honorably and humbly and passionately follow our Lord who transformed culture by entering it, by becoming a humble servant and friend of sinners. How do we imitate Christ in the 21st century? For starters, perhaps we need to reimagine the reality that Christ came to redeem all of creation, not just convert heathen. There's this old Christian jingle, and I call it a jingle intentionally because it doesn't deserve to be considered a great hymn of the faith. But the jingle goes like this: we were saved, saved to tell others. Well, is that all? If you do the basic math on that, when everybody has told everybody, then what? Is that all that the salvation and the gospel and the story of redemption is about? And so we need to reimagine what it means to join Christ in the renewal of all things. On a really practical level, this can look like giving people access to basic necessities like clean water before and as we live Jesus to them. It looks like understanding their culture, their understanding of the divine, and their understanding of life as we bring Christ to them by being Christ to them. It looks like the church taking advantage of all the opportunities that globalization has to offer us today, like a small church on an island in Canada partnering with a small church in Thailand to work together for the gospel. Globalization has given us this great opportunity to live deeply into our vocations here at home, and then to either engage those vocations or perhaps to bracket them as we go to serve another culture and work with Christ in the global church. And that is what we set out to do as Oceanside partnered with Imagine Thailand in a service trip. We very intentionally referred to our 2 weeks away as a service trip and not a mission trip. The reason for this was twofold. First, we came to serve the local Thai church and Thai culture as a whole. We did not go to simply try and convert a few heathen, see a few wonders of Thailand, and call it partnering with God in missions. Rather, we came asking, how is God already at work in Thailand? And how can we serve the local Thai church in that work? Where is Christ moving, and how can we be part of that? Well, what are the ramifications of joining Christ on his mission? What happens when we go to give and serve? I think one of the most basic results is the remarkable fact that as we give, so we receive. Call it a pattern of giving and receiving. As we give, so in turn we receive, and this receiving translates into encouraging and affirming the work of the local church back at home. You see this pattern of giving and receiving in the early church as Christians go out from a local fellowship, bringing the hope and light of the gospel with them. And then they return back home to encourage their local church with what God is up to all across their world. So before the team comes up, let me stir your imaginations for what they're about to share by reading a bit of Luke's account of the early church in Acts, as Luke closely follows the life of the Apostle Paul, who travels across the Mediterranean. I'm going to pick up the story in Acts chapter 14, where Luke writes about Paul and Barnabas, who partner together in the gospel. We have a tradition of standing as we read scripture here in honor of God's word. So would you stand with me as I read this? Acts 14, verses 24 to 28. After going through Pisidia, Paul and Barnabas came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Well, would you join me, church, in welcoming your service team who comes to report on all that God has done?
Hello, I'm Linda. I'm just going to share a blog that I wrote just about our trip. It's really hard to put in words our whole experience, but I tried to give you a snapshot of what we experienced in Thailand. And I'm just going to read it because I'm not a speaker. God gave me this verse when I was on my travels, and it says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty." That's Psalms 91, verse 1. I made the commitment to join the service trip for an opportunity to be part of God's plan in Takopa. As they are survivors of the tsunami that struck in 2004, and it killed thousands and thousands of people in the area. Also to note, there's only 1% of the population that's Christian. But God's love was unmistakable, as love flowed freely with every relationship. Our team had the responsibility of building a waterway drainage system around the learning center. My work was to make handmade concrete and water in a big tub, mixing it smooth, and the ingredients of sand, concrete, and water in a tub. Mixing it smooth and distributing it for the purpose of securing it to the larger blocks. Colin melted my heart when he shared with me that working with me reminded him of working with his own daughter. We labored in intense heat and with such strenuous labor, but I found that I loved it. I treasured making something out of nothing, creating something valuable, so strong and resilient. It was almost like God was molding the identical characteristics in me at the same time. Our team worked flawlessly as a whole, and everyone pulled their weight. Lydia shoveled dirt like a madwoman. Pam assisted shoveling and raking and moving dirt, all while capturing the moments on her camera. Dan was the man, and he was a shining star, because he was the only one that could lift the 200-pound blocks. It felt like 2,000. Judy did everything that was asked of her, and she did it with a good heart. And Jean, in my opinion, had the best job. She got to work with a really cool trowel tool and fill in some cracks, so I liked her job. We completed the entire job in 5 days with the help of a purchase wheelbarrow from a team member. And my greatest joy was a moment when I observed a lighthouse staff member throw a bucket of soapy water in the waterway minutes after completion, only to track the water perfectly and seamlessly down the waterway and into the drain. This alone made all those painstaking hours of knowing what it would mean for the center long term. God had clearly used us to scatter the seeds of love and faith. And it was obvious when teaching our English lessons. We taught in pairs and began our work at Ban Yan School, where we were treated like royalty. Even the mayor, who joined the opening ceremonies, greeted us with gifts in hand. The best part was viewing so many smiles and giggles from the kids, from our big groups and our activities led by Lydia. And in the small classroom groups, Judy and I taught together. Our subjects were occupation and emotions. We got very, very skilled creeping around the classroom with all those flashcards. We played games like Hot Potato and the Telephone Game, which they absolutely loved. Other teams like Pam and Colin squirted rain, water for rain, and sang with puppets to illustrate weather and family. Dan and Jean's class, I don't know, you had a whole lot of game playing going on because we could hear the kids laughing down the hall while they were teaching directions and places in town. The next school was my favorite as I marvel on how us Christians or infidels were so lovingly welcomed to scatter more seeds of faith and love at the intermediate Muslim school. The most impactful thing was Lydia's teaching the song, "My Lighthouse with All the Actions." I could feel God's presence, and I could visibly see the teachers and students marvel at the message this song offered. Again, love shone through, breaking all barriers of religion, age, culture, language, and customs. Love is universal, and I saw flickers of hope in the darkness as many children had come from broken homes with addicted parents. I was left feeling speechless with the students' unwillingness to let us go. They begged us to sit, stay with them, hug them. They took endless selfies, and they craved the attention and love to linger longer. Sundays were amazing, with a little firecracker church and Lydia's very important message of love and relationship with God. But honestly, all that, what surprised me the most about our trip was honestly how much fun we had. Seriously, as a whole, we could not contain our amusement. Whether it was Colin's sense of humor or being overtired and laughing over the silliest things, it was our way or our way of processing the hardships. But the day, we never got tired of laughing, joking, playing, and joy honestly was everywhere. I can say that I fell in love with every member of my team and all those that are involved with Imagine Thailand. God created friendships that otherwise would not have occurred, and I found routine in enjoying things with certain people, just like morning walks with Pam, Lydia, and Colin, market time with Jean, and teaching and shopping with Judy. And of course, laughing with Dan and making concrete with Colin. Our team worked hard and played hard. As soon as we saw water, boom, in the water we went in, splashing, handstands, swimming to the big rock, waving to each other on the sandy shore. We sailed down the river, Colin, with watermelon in hand, frolicking in the boiling hot springs where our skin turned crimson in color. We took turns riding in the back of a pickup truck and started each day with a morning walk around a beautiful lake. We ate the most delicious foods, spicy foods, with endless chicken and rice noodle dishes. And we got quite hooked on the mango passion smoothie found at the market. And honestly, don't get me started on the banana and curry roti that we had every morning. I love the bright purple butterfly flower tea served cold and added to rice to make blue. Tak and Tay they took very good care of us, and they were our awesome guides and interpreters. And Lydia was our fearless leader. God has a way of blessing us in the midst of trying to be a blessing to others. You can't out-bless God, and when you stay in his shadow, you linger in a place of joy, where fear cannot thrive, a place where love rules, and in a place where you increase your faith. You can hear God's whispers, and it's a place you develop lifelong friendships. And of course, it feels like home, familiar, comfortable, and a place of rest while under the shadow of his mighty wing, doing his work one piece at a time. Thank you for listening.
When I read Linda's blog, I said, oh, you've got to start out our time together with that, because it gives a great overview of what we did in Thailand. And there were five main areas that we worked and served in, and since there's five other team members, I've asked each of them to just focus on one area. And so, Pam, can you tell us about the Learning Center?
Okay, what can I tell you about the Learning Center? The Learning Center was the hub, and is the hub, of what Imagine Thailand does in Takapa, the area that we served. And it was also, there's a picture of it there, and it was also the center of what we did as a team. We met there and orientated, we did our meetings there, we did our ESL training in that location, we built our waterway there, and often at the end of a day, some of the team members would go down there and simply just play and interact with the beautiful children there. And no matter what we were doing, we could just feel the love of God there. And the Learning Center itself, that love of God just permeated everything they did. They prepare, TAC, the leader, prepares resource material that's used for schools across Thailand. They organize and lead ESL programs in the schools around the region, such as the schools that we went in to teach. But most importantly, they tutor the children in the rural area of Takapa. And that began back when the tsunami happened. They established a learning center because in Thailand, their school system is based on memorization. So the kids have to pass standardized exams, and if they don't pass those exams, they don't get to carry on. So the rural children don't have the same opportunities. But just last year, for example, the Learning Center, 8 students that had gone through the program passed their university exams and moved into university. And on the last day of our water project, some of those students came back to visit, and it was beautiful to see. I looked over, and there's Colin. He's got his guitar out. There's one of the older students. He's got a guitar out. Other students are gathered around interacting. I look out the window that same afternoon, and Dan and Judy are running around on the dirt play area with a flock of kids, having just an absolute blast. And then I look over. For me, probably the most beautiful moment was just a little girl. She just takes her little metal cup over to the water station and fills it and drinks her water, and it just touched my heart, because without the work of Imagine Thailand, that would not be possible for so many children across the country of Thailand. We, as a church, sponsor missionaries who direct Imagine Thailand, and Imagine Thailand has already put in over 120 water systems in schools and learning centers across Thailand. And watching that little girl drink her water, for me, it was like a little child, you know, having a cup of water in Jesus' name, and that inspired me to just want to do so much more. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Pam. Well, we went to 2 schools, a Buddhist school and a Muslim school, and I'd love for Dan to tell us about the Buddhist school.
Wow. As I was in Thailand, I'm probably the least prepared of the group. These guys are my anchor. But yeah, the Buddhist school is a grade 3 class. And I'll tell you a little bit about it, is that when we arrive, it was magical. Not only, I mean, the mayor was there, and these kids knew there were some special people there, which was really cool. But my theme is going to be teacher becomes student. Because what happens is Linda went over it, and we all broke into groups. We all had our little sections we were teaching, with the addition of phys ed. Jean and I added phys ed to our kids. we didn't believe in the written work. We believed in the running around. And that became the fun part. But these kids had a special assembly. We got to come to the front of the class, their teachers alongside. And I remember that feeling of we got to step in. Because these kids are sitting on the floor, and they're so attentive to what's going on. And I remember that first step going up to going, I'm going to do the high fives. And to walk down the group, and their eyes are just incredible. And that's when teachers became students. These kids, we are raw. We're raw when we're there. We can't speak their language, and they can't speak ours. And they just see by what we do. And we are totally raw, and they're reading through us. And we have minutes to make the impression that we really want to make. And it was totally magical to see these kids totally open up. So magical in that when we're at a market a few days later, I hear, and I was ahead of the group because Tay and I were going for, we were going for the smoothies right away. So we were ahead of, and I hear this little girl go, Dan, hi, Dan. And then the whole group come up. So one of the kids from the school would recognize who we are at the market. And then we're riding in the back of a pickup truck down in Takapa, and to see a little girl on a scooter going by waving at us sitting in the back, because she was one of the kids in the grade 3 class that we taught. So you guys were left behind, because the pats on the back, the hugs, the smiles that we got to give these kids will last forever. But what more important is what they gave us was absolutely incredible. That they would open up their school and open up their hearts, these kids, and put so much trust in us from somewhere else. I'm sure there'll be great stories here. I just tell you that the impact that they had on me was not a Red Bull effect that it is dying off. It is actually burning that I want to go back. It was absolutely magical. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, one of the things that I was so passionate about was being able to join the local church, and not just parachute in, but join a local church and what they were doing. Even though Christianity is only 1% in Thailand, there are churches. And so Judy is going to tell us about the local church.
Can I shut it on? There we go. And I actually feel this is a huge privilege for me to be able to talk about the church. I had what I would call an unexplainable excitement about going to church on the Sundays. And I'm still left wondering what that was about because I really can't put it into words. I was excited. I was like a little kid. I wanted to get to the church. We've heard a little bit about the church. The church is being led by a pastor there who is also a full-time doctor. And so she works and she leads the church. The church is one of five in Takapau. The other ones have about 10 people in attendance. The church that we attended have about 50. So that's pretty exciting, especially when you think that the population is like 1% Christian. You know, my highlights of the church include going into the church and being welcomed by various of the staff members that are working at the Learning Center, and then also seeing Gift, who was also Linda's and my interpreter in our classroom, seeing her up singing the first time, and then the next time we were there leading the music. I mean, it was just wonderful. Tak and Tay attended the church. Tay was our interpreter. Seeing Lydia preach, having the opportunity to not only hear her, but hear her again in Thailand and hear her with an interpreter, it was just wonderful and magical. One of the things I remember is the congregants moving forward in their seats. Literally, they were sitting back listening. And then as Lydia took the scriptures, and she was preaching from the Psalms, as she took the scriptures and applied that, what she had just taught, but applied it to their life, I literally saw them move forward. And that was just such a highlight for me. Colin and I attended a prayer service, just being able to pray with people. We didn't necessarily always know what they were praying about. Sometimes we were told, okay, we're going to pray for the church and different things like that. So it was wonderful, wonderful to pray together, have our spirits united. Colin felt a burden, impression, whatever, to actually via, I think, a couple translators to tell somebody that he wanted to pray for them or ask permission to pray for them. And that gentleman also received a healing that night, which is pretty spectacular. Just a couple more memories and then I'll end. I remember a young man coming up and speaking. He was a very shy young man. He didn't speak more than about 15 seconds. And he sits down and I hear clapping. And I think, I wonder what that's about. And he was one of the graduates from the Learning Center that had just received confirmation he had passed his university entrance exams. That was exciting. The other, and I'll end with this, probably one of my favorites, is you'll see me sitting there with a great big smile on my face. That little fellow was sitting next to me, and he was just squirming. He was on probably a sister's or friend's lap, so I coaxed him over to come sit on my lap, and then we played finger games and who knows what else throughout the service, but it was a blessing. Just a scripture I want to share super duper quick, and I think of it in two regards, both as into the work we were doing there, but also into the work that God is doing in our lives. And this comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. He says, now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, and I must say I thought of that a lot as we worked at the Learning Center, but applying it back to the church there and to our church. We see it taking shape day by day, a temple built by God, all of us being built into it. And here is my absolute favorite part, and I think about this for the church in Thailand and for us, a temple in which God is quite at home. So what an awesome. So I'll pass this back. Thank you.
Well, the grunt and the sweat and the tears and probably a bit of blood being spilt was all in this waterway project that we did at the Learning Center. Colin's going to talk about it, and then we get to see actual little video of what we did.
Thank you very much. And before I read this out, I wrote it out to stay within the 2 minutes, but I just want to thank every one of you for praying for us. I know my wife, Manya, had the prayer of St. Patrick given to her, and she was praying for us every day. And anyways, the Lighthouse Center, under the direction of Tay and Tak, the people that we've been talking about, was established since 2004, but it has been impacted by seasonal torrential rains, one night of which we got to experience a little bit about. And it would cause flooding of the land and seep into the building, and it would thereby cause disruption and the need for cleanup. Although the edge of the property had a drain receptacle, there was no system for the floodwaters to reach it. And the solution was to build a waterway around the perimeter of the property and connect with that drain. In the recent past, Colwood Pentecostal Church, who we've kind of partnered with a little bit with Imagine Thailand, provided over 50 concrete forms needed to create this system. But labor was needed to assist with the installation, and this is where we came in. With the use of an excavator, ditches were dug. We then finished the ditches by using shovels and hose to smooth out the bottom and create gradual increasing depth for the water to flow. We mixed concrete to line the bottom of the ditch in tandem with the heavy 6-foot shaped concrete forms being lifted into the ditch and placed on fresh, wet concrete. More finishing concrete was used to fill the joints well. Others backfilled the edges with dirt. This project required heavy lifting and carrying and a coordinated team effort. So I'm very thankful for Big Dan here and a small but very strong Thai worker named Pun. No pun intended. On the first day, we quickly saw the need to purchase a wheelbarrow, which was there by the next day, and it helped immensely through our project. After the waterway was installed, we needed to smooth out the dirt piles left over from the excavator, as well as relocating and cleaning a large playground set originally moved aside to make room for the excavator. We managed to complete the project in 5 days. And when you consider that two of us are in our 60s, three in our 50s, one in our 40s, and one in our 30s, God protected us. And we didn't have any major physical incidents or anything like that. A little bit of heat exhaustion happened in one of us, but it was quickly resolved by a little bit of rest and rehydration. And so your prayers really went a long ways. So in spite of the 33 to 35 degree temperatures and the need for frequent water breaks, we accomplished these tasks as a team and experienced much laughter and joy as we worked together with the Thai people. We would jokingly remark how working on ditches could be so draining. Also, in between that work, great Thai meals were provided every single day by the Lighthouse leaders, Tay, Tak, Yang, and what was
Gift.
Yeah, it was amazing. So we had a great... And I got something from Thailand to show you. I got these amazing...
That's why you're wearing
I
this.
Bought them at the in Bangkok at the very last day. I think they cost me $4, and they're the best kind of sandals I've ever had. So anyways, God bless you guys. Yeah.
Ella, the sound might be off on the computer.
Around the Learning Center. Oceanside Community Church, thanks so much for partnering with us in the water project. Come and have a look. We're on day 5 of building a huge waterway all array around the Learning Center. The Learning Center, which is run by Tak and Tay, floods every year in the rainy season, which starts in May. And so they needed to come up with a way to move the water out of the way so that they could keep the Learning Center open. So Colwood Church paid for all of the supplies, and Oceanside Community Church came and did the labor. We have here 56 huge cement blocks that are about 3 feet long. Altogether, they weigh 10,472 pounds, was our best guess. And Dan and Pipom moved them all by hand. Underneath, there's cement that we mixed by hand. That was Colin and Linda's job. Come and take a look. So we had to dig this trench, and then all of the extra dirt that you see, the light brown dirt, we moved by hand with a wheelbarrow. We couldn't have done it without the wheelbarrow, which Colin got for us. And it goes, and it goes, and it goes. You're gonna have to go faster, we'll be here all day. All of it landing here, so it can go underneath the bridge and get out. And it keeps going. All of this over here is the dirt that we had to move. It was huge piles. And around. Jean had the job of filling in all of the cracks of cement. And look who's here!
Swadikap!
What is Swadikap?
Swadikap, hello! Hello!
Hello!
Bye. Our last 2 days were at a Muslim school, and we sang the song My Lighthouse, which the kids are going to come back in and we'll sing. We'll play a video of it as well at the end to end our time together. But before we do that, Jean is going to share about the Muslim school.
I wrote it too, so I stayed in my time, because I'm really excited about what happened at the Muslim school. I'm also really awed that God put together this team that was so perfect for the occasion. We were the oldest team that Tak and Tay had ever had. I think we worked the hardest. I think we were probably the best team. Right? For me, the Muslim school was a highlight. It resonated very deeply. In Thailand, Muslims are a minority, and sometimes they're treated quite poorly by their Buddhist neighbors. While most of the team members spent the lunch hour while we were at the school playing with the kids, playing with the students, I sat and talked to the English teacher. I was a little bit of a rebel. She talked to me about her community, about the high rate of poverty, the drug use, parental separation, early pregnancies, and grandparents raising their grandchildren. It broke my heart. This was a community that was outside of Tacopa, very isolated, and predominantly Muslim. The students, teachers, administration, and even the mayor of the town were open, so grateful, and so kind. They had never had an English camp there before. They saw very, very few tourists. It was kind of fun being a novelty. They knew that we came from a Christian church. My English teacher friend asked me about the Lighthouse song, the one that you're going to see in a minute. She understood that it was about the Christian God, and she thanked me for bringing hope into the lives of her students. Because we went to this school, we were as very small cogs in this huge wheel of what God is doing in Thailand. Imagine Thailand now has an open door in this community. They are bringing in a water system into the school, and they are going to continue to minister in this community. I am so grateful for our little piece of God's big love for Thailand.
Well, I'm going to invite all of you to stand with us, and the kids are going to come in to kind of finish off our time together. We're going to sing the Lighthouse. Mm-hmm.